Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Dr. John Vaughn. It was presented in October of 2009. It's the final message in a six-part series on brokenness. The title of the message, Brokenness, the Portrait.
Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11, just begins to tell the story. And I'm going to read these verses just to put you in the frame of mind to remember the story of Joseph. These verses introduce one of the most dramatic stories that has ever been told. To read through Genesis 37 through 50, the story and life of Joseph, is to read one of the great dramas, the great stories. It's one of the most moving stories you could ever read. A tragedy, yet a great triumph in this man's life. Not only pictures the life of our suffering Savior, but he also pictures the life of the broken Christian. This story teaches us that our circumstances indeed are, as we said, that frame around the portrait that your life is painting of Christ. Genesis 37 begins by saying, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" They hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shalt I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now, from the time he was 17 until he was 30 years old, he suffered one indignation after another, one humiliation, one reduction of opportunity, one brutal response after another. Beaten by his brothers, sold into slavery, slandered by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison, ignored, maligned, unappreciated. But after the breaking process and after the promotional process that God put him through, Joseph came to a position of great influence. And God actually used him to save the whole region of the world. The nation of Egypt, Israel, his own family, because of his wisdom and discretion and his right response in rotten circumstances, God gave him a platform from which to preach salvation through God. Joseph is an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ. His life is a parallel to the life of Christ. And Joseph is our example to finish up this series on brokenness, that our lives should be a parallel of the life of Christ. If you make up your mind that you want your life to be a portrait of Christ, you can expect your life to follow the path of Christ. Let me give you a simple test of how to know whether you have a servant's heart. Here it is. How do you respond when someone treats you like one? Do you get indignant? Are you frustrated? Are you embarrassed? You feel unappreciated? Just be a servant. Have a servant's heart. That's what Joseph did. In all this indignation that he went through, he kept his heart right with God. Two things about Joseph. Two simple things. The first one is, because Christ intends to use you, you will suffer through brokenness. When Joseph went down to Egypt, he didn't know how long he'd suffer. He didn't know in which way he would suffer. And every time he suffered in some way, he chose to respond rightly. That's how brokenness has its work in you. Promotion cometh not from the east or the west. Promotion cometh from the Lord. Can you imagine if this young 17-year-old boy had decided, I think what I'll do when I get down to Egypt is I'll run for the vice presidency. How would that have worked? No. He didn't set his sights on human ambition or what he could accomplish. He was just faithful where he was. I told somebody this the other day. I may have been someone here. Let me give you a simple way to know for sure you will be in the will of God 10 years from now. Young people, you want to know for sure how to be in the will of God 10 years from now? Here it is, real simple. Get in God's will tonight and stay there. That's the way you do it. Do the will of God tonight, and then the next time God gives you a choice, make the right biblical choice, and just keep doing that. In 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, or however long you live, you'll be in the will of God if you'll get there and stay there. Don't convince yourself that somewhere down in the future you'll get in the will of God if you're not willing to be in the will of God tonight. And if God's will has put you in a difficult, painful situation, and you are not responding in a way that glorifies God, don't pretend that you'll glorify God if He gives you what you want. I heard an old fellow say one time, if you can't be happy where you are, you can't be happy where you ain't. You learn to glorify God where He puts you, and God will keep you where you need to be. God will give you brokenness, and it will come through suffering. In chapters 37 through 40, a lot of material there. We don't have time to read those chapters tonight, but I'm just going to review them. In chapters 37 through 40, we see this very lesson. Those whom God would break will enter into very difficult experiences. Some of you have had very difficult experiences. You may in the future have very difficult experiences. Your experiences of difficulty might not involve physical pain. They might not involve financial pressure. They might not involve family problems. I don't know what they'll be. They may just be turmoil within your own soul, doubts that you have about what's right and what's wrong and what you should do with your life and what your next choice should be. I don't know what your trials will be, but I do know that as God breaks, He sends uncertainty to our souls to drive us to His truth so we will be hungry for the Word of God. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Bible says. Do you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness? Do you crave what God has to say to you in His Word? Do you get up in the morning as hungry for God's truth as you are for food? Think on it. When God creates within you a hunger for His truth, you will be knowing the experiences, the difficulties that God uses to break you. A real hunger that comes from the knowledge that you have a need. Joseph was resented for his earthly father's favor. And some of you, you know your father's favor and you're resented for it. Some of you know that ugly jealousy that comes when God blesses somebody else instead of you. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever seen God put His favor on somebody else that you knew was doing wrong and you felt like, well, that's not right. I mean, I've tried to be faithful in that area and I know that guy's a crook and now he gets all the blessings. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah, you know why we resent when other people do well? Because we think we deserve better than we have. The truth of the matter is, anything we get that's better than hell is more than we deserve. Because that is what we deserve. Joseph was resented for his earthly father's favor. Joseph was resented for his heavenly father's favor. Who gave him the ability to interpret dreams? That was no human gift. That wasn't magic. God gave him that ability. And God used that ability ultimately to cause Pharaoh to put him in that position of authority. That very same gift that caused his brothers to despise him and want to murder him was the same gift that God had planned all along to use to communicate salvation to the world. If our rebuke and our witness only attracts attention to our perceived authority or ability, that's not a real good picture of Christ. Why? What did Christ do? He exalted the Father. What does the Holy Spirit do? He exalts Christ. What should we do? We should promote Him, exalt Him, talk about Him. When people see us, we reflect Him. That's what Joseph was learning to do, so that when it came to the time when Pharaoh had the dream, Joseph didn't say, "I dreamed a dream." That's how he said it to his brothers in chapter 37. But when he began to interpret Pharaoh's dream, he said, "God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do." Joseph didn't say, "Oh, I know the answer." You see the difference? And as you read through this story, you'll see Joseph not only becoming more and more influential, but more and more humble as he was representing the Lord more and more accurately. Joseph was rejected by his brother's fury here in this first chapter, 37, just as he was resented. God brought him into this very difficult experience. And another lesson from Joseph from chapter 39 is that God breaks those by suffering even when they're faithful. You might be confused about brokenness, and you might say, well, if I'm faithful, surely that the pressure is going to ease up. I mean, my circumstances will improve, won't they? They might. They might not. God might let you suffer forever in this life. I've known people who have been faithful all their lives, and they just have one problem after another, and then they get sick with some disease from which they die at the end. And you say, well, seem like that person could get a break. Boy, what an attitude to have about the Lord. Joseph couldn't get a break, some people say, but he was still faithful. Sometimes your faithfulness will bring rewards from other people. That's what happened to him in Potiphar's house. Sometimes your faithfulness will bring revenge from others. That's what happened with Potiphar's wife. Sometimes your faithfulness is just going to bring more suffering. That's what happened when he got thrown into prison. Whom God would break will be broken even when they're being used by God. Sometimes we use little phrases that confuse this principle. Have you ever heard somebody say, or have you ever said, God has been so good to me lately? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said that? Oh, God has been so good to me lately. Guess what? That's all He's ever been to you. Oh, God is really, really blessing. And what they mean by that is, I'm getting what I want sometimes. Finances in good shape, health in good shape, family all in good shape, everything's going well, God is really blessing. If we're not careful and we talk about God blessing only when things go the way we want, we're going to give a false message about the Lord. God always blesses. And if we were to say to the world, yeah, you know, I just found out I have cancer, God is really blessing. We don't usually say things like that, do we? But how about if somebody says, yeah, I heard you had a problem in your health. God is really showing Himself to me right now. God is really giving me His grace. He's really answering prayer, giving me hope and faith through this experience. That gets attention and points the attention to Christ. Don't you think? Those who are being broken are people who are becoming more concerned with what is right than with their rights. Giving up your rights brings spiritual freedom. Second thing, not only will you suffer through brokenness, but here's the wonderful part, you will learn through brokenness. Brokenness will help you see the Lord. And when you see the Lord, you're going to be able to reflect the Lord. And you'll be able to talk about Him accurately. In chapters 41 through 50, you read that unfolding drama, and you're going to see how Joseph learned to use his gifts for the glory of God. You'll learn discretion in the use of your gifts. Just let me compare two verses. In chapter 37 and verse 6, Joseph said to his brothers, "Hear, I pray you, this dream that I have dreamed." We referred to that a moment ago. Now, compare that to chapter 41 and verse 25. I want you to see it in black and white. Here in Genesis 41 and verse 25, Joseph said unto Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." Do you see the difference in his speech? You see how he talked about himself the first time? And he talked about God and honored Pharaoh the second time. He was learning discretion. He was learning wisdom in the use of his gifts. You'll also learn to use your gifts for the benefit of others. When you have confidence that you know how to help a person see the Lord in their problem, you're not going to mind having an opportunity to talk to somebody about their problem. So you think, well, what is this guy's problem? And then you keep watching and you think, hey, I think I found it. You see? And I don't want his problem to become my problem because I want to help him with his problem. That's what Joseph learned to do. And of course, the wonderful way that he learned to do it was both physically and spiritually. Joseph had wisdom. He told Pharaoh, here's what we need to do. We're going to have a terrible famine. We're going to have lots of harvest overrun. We're going to have more than we need, and we need to take all the excess and we need to store it because there's going to be a terrible famine. We're going to run out of food, but if we store enough, we'll get through it. Pharaoh says, well, you know, I need somebody wise, and I think you're the man. So I'm going to put you in charge of making that happen. And that's exactly what did happen. And who do you suppose eventually came down to Egypt to try to find some food? The brothers who had beaten him and sold him into slavery. And you know the story. It's one of the most glorious, wonderful stories that you will ever read anywhere. These brothers came down, and when they got there, they had no idea that Pharaoh was even alive. And you begin, or that Joseph was even alive. And here you are. You read in verses, or in chapters 44 and 45, and finally, at the beginning of chapter 45, they have come back two or three times now to get food. Joseph knows who they are. They don't know who he is. He has learned brokenness through all the things he suffered, and he knows now that God is breaking his brothers too and using him as an instrument. He knows that his brothers are learning humility. Look at chapter 45. He has compassion on his brothers. Let me ask you something. Before we read this, suppose that you had been beaten almost to death, sold into slavery, spent the next 13 years of your life in misery. Then you've spent the next 14 years of your life trying to help other people survive their misery. Now you're a middle-aged man. You have the authority of Pharaoh himself. You're the vice president of the country. You have the authority of life and death over other people. And the people who put you in that miserable situation have now showed up asking for a handout. What do you suppose you'd do? Chapter 45, verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. That is a picture of the day when Jesus Christ will open the eyes of the Jewish people and they will see the one they nailed to the cross is their Messiah. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph. Can you imagine that scene? Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. What had Joseph learned in all of his years of breaking? His brothers didn't send him to Egypt. God sent him to Egypt. His brothers didn't put him down there in slavery. God put him down there to be the Savior. God, who sent his only begotten Son to this world to show his love by letting him die on the cross, pictured by Joseph and what he went through. My, what a tremendous lesson. The story continues to unfold. And finally, at the end of the book, in Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21, here's how it closes. Jacob has died. They've had his funeral. Joseph calls his brothers together, and they're afraid. They thought, now that our father is dead, Joseph will take his vengeance. Joseph will punish us for what we've done. And here's what he said to his brothers, verse 15. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, and they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. Joseph was already forgiving his brothers before they ever went to ask for it. Before they ever said, oh, listen, our dad wanted you to forgive us. Sure, he knew that. His brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it to good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. That statement that Joseph made in verse 20 of Genesis chapter 50, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. That is the core lesson of brokenness. Your problems, your pain, your suffering, your sorrow, your heartache, the heaviness of your soul, whatever it is that you're going through, unbroken, you think, why are they doing this to me? Why is God allowing this in my life? If God loved me, why would he do this? And that statement by a Christian is no different than the question of a lost person, how could a loving God send people to hell? You ever heard that? We've all heard that. If God really loved us, why wouldn't he give us what we want? Because he loves us. He gives us what we need. When a person is broken and comes to the place where he can say about any circumstance of life, you meant this for evil. Satan meant this to destroy me. People meant this to hurt me. People didn't care about how this was going to affect me. They took my life. They consumed it with suffering. But God meant it all for good. And not just for my good. He meant it for your good. When you and I become broken, and we can take the experiences of our life and turn them into a testimony about Christ and his love for us, brokenness will have had its full fruit in our lives. That's where God wants you to be. God wants you to be broken, and he wants you to start saying to others, now listen, God meant this for good. God wants us to see him in all of this.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Brokenness, the Portrait by Dr. John Vaughn. It was originally presented in October of 2009 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. It's the final in a six-part series on brokenness. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website at hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.